Welcome to Bankless Bites, a new weekly show out of Bankless. A little like the weekly roll-up, but more opinions, less news, closer to touching on the conversations that are going around crypto of the week. Or really whatever me and Ryan want to talk about. If you don't like our opinions, this show is probably not for you. Unfiltered, sometimes wrong, always fun. 3 to 5 topics every single week, trying to get it under 30 minutes. Always an ambitious endeavor. This is our first rodeo on this show. So this show will change and adapt. But the idea of the show is to be pretty raw and uncut. No filter. Ryan, what are we talking about this week?
We got 4 topics of the week, David. Number one, I want to talk to you about Bankless breakpoints. Okay, actually, Bankless showed up at breakpoints and you went. And a lot of people were upset about that. Yeah. How dare you?
So other people liked it.
Yeah. Also, Solana versus Ethereum. That has been the subject this week all over crypto Twitter. And I think that's where we're getting inspiration from the show, honestly, is like things that people are talking about on crypto Twitter.
That we've got takes about.
Speaking of that, we got to do a feelings check-in because you are disappointed with somebody this week. I believe you have some disappointment with Chris Berninski.
Yeah, with that.
I want to unpack that. I want to see where that comes from, get into the kind of the emotional layer of that.
David's disappointed with dad.
Also, what should Bankless do about Solana? That has been a conversation that I think we need to have. David, before we get in, you're going to speed run through the ad. So let's play it.
Kraken knows crypto. We are all on the journey of building a better financial system, and Kraken has been leading that charge for over a decade. Crypto is world-changing tech, and it's Kraken's mission to accelerate the adoption of crypto so that you and the rest of the world can achieve financial freedom. Head over to kraken.com to see what crypto can be. And once you buy your assets on Kraken and you need to start exploring DeFi, make sure you explore it through your MetaMask portfolio. A deeper, more expansive way to use MetaMask that gives you the battle station you need to navigate the bull market. You can buy, swap, bridge, and stake your crypto assets with ease. I already know that you have a MetaMask wallet, so go check out your MetaMask portfolio. Did you know that Arbitrum is the 4th largest chain by economic activity in crypto? How did Arbitrum get there? Well, with low fees and fast transactions, of course. With over 600 apps on Arbitrum, the Arbitrum ecosystem has a solution for you. Whether you're into DeFi, NFTs, or you simply need a fast chain, or even if you want your own dedicated throughput with an Arbitrum Orbit, Arbitrum has a home for you. Visit Arbitrum.io to get started with your journey with one of the most active chains in crypto. And if you want to try out a newer layer 2 to the Ethereum family, try out Celo, a battle-tested EVM layer 1 that has recently decided to move to Ethereum. Celo is the mobile-first, carbon-negative blockchain built for the regenerative future. With the Celo layer 2, gas fees will stay low, and you can even pay for gas using ERC20 tokens. Follow Celo.org on Twitter and visit Celo.org to shape the future of Ethereum. Or maybe you think that there are too many layer 2s on Ethereum for you to manage. Don't worry, Uniswap is helping all of Ethereum layer 2s fade into the background, as Intents from Uniswap X allows you to seamlessly swap from chain to chain without even thinking about it. With Uniswap X, Ethereum layer 2s become just Ethereum. No chain burdens, just good swapping and optimized execution. Try out Uniswap X by going to app.uniswap.org to get you from asset to asset and chain to chain without thinking. Are you launching a token? Is it already live? How are you managing the legal and tax for providing token awards to your team? Toku simplifies everything about managing token grant compensation, and you can get started for free. With Toku, you'll have access to top-notch legal and tax support to handle the distribution and management of tokens for your team. Toku understands every grant structure and caters to every step of the compliance process. Visit them at toku.com/bankless. And last up, GMX, but specifically GMX V2, offering even faster on-chain trading for DeFi liquidity providers. GMX is a permissionless, decentralized exchange that offers perpetual futures and spot trading. Liquidity providers receive 63% of all of GMX's protocol fees, and GMX users get a referral link to lower fees for you and your referrals. Try out GMX V2 now at app.gmx.io. Now, on to the show.
All right, first topic. David, you went to Solana Breakpoints Conference. Here's you. You are interviewing, looks like, Anatoly and Austin from Solana. So first, how dare you? people were upset about this. Some people were upset about this. I want to tap into why you decided to go to a Solana conference in the first place. A lot of people said Bankless showed up. I think because you are a representative of Bankless, right. I would say that that's true. We showed up. Yeah. Yet also, it was you. Yeah. It wasn't the rest of the team.
Right.
I didn't show up, for instance. What? It almost sounds like I'm making like excuses for this or something, or like I'm padding in some way. But oh my God, you just went to a conference. Right. Who cares?
Right.
But somehow this shows some significance. Anyway, give me the context of like, why did you decide to go to this thing anyway?
Yeah, there's like so much context. First, it was like I signed up for this talk at ETH Lisbon. I wanted to go to ETH Lisbon. I was going to go to Turkey afterwards for DevConnect. And then like Solana Breakpoint was just like, oh, it's just like in Amsterdam and it's like 2 days before. So I'll just go 2 days earlier and just like, why not? Then I canceled my DevConnect plans, but that's a different story. The other answer is just like you say that like people were disappointed in that I went to Solana, and I don't really want to like overemphasize that. I think like some people are like some Ethereum people are like, yo, why are you guys legitimizing what we consider to be an illegitimate project? But
I think it feels like, imagine if a Democrat showed up at a Republican conference.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the tribal games are saying that. I don't think that really scales out to like all of Ethereum, but yes, some people are like, what are you doing? And granted, this is the first non-Ethereum conference that I've ever gone to, right? Like either I go to something like totally neutral, like Mazari Mainnet, or I go to Ethereum events. So this is like a step out. Like, why? What was my motivation? It's like, well, Solana is having a narrative moment in this present time. Sol price is pumping. I decided to go before Sol price moved. I bought my ticket like months ago. I don't know how to get a vibe for Solana that isn't through Twitter, which is a terrible place to get a Solana vibe because the Solana community like owns the Solana narrative on crypto Twitter at this present moment. And then also like my Ethereum circles aren't going to do it either. And so like, how do I go figure out for myself what Solana is and what's real and who goes to Solana conferences and how many people go? I just had to go see for it for myself. And also Amsterdam is a nice city.
Before I ask you to vibe check, because I want to hear a bit more about like your impressions, your takeaways from this though, is just like, I'll note that you've been to Ethereum conferences. You've been to kind of generic, blockchain crypto conferences before. But you haven't gone to like a Cardano conference, for example.
I don't think Cardano conferences exist, and I would also not go to one.
Okay, or a Tezos conference, for instance. Yeah. Okay, so what about Solana? So what is different? I mean, if you talk to some people, they'll say there's really only a few communities that are really building. One is, of course, Ethereum and its Layer 2 ecosystem. Another is Cosmos, still building in mm-hmm. Solana. Is it as simple as that, that there's just signs of life? And then, by the way, Cardano people would say, you're missing this whole world out there, you know, bankless idiots and shills and morons. And you should come see what we're building. But you went to Solana, you didn't go to these other events. Why?
The only answer I have is like that Solana seems to have captured a narrative. And there are people that I respect and trust in this space that say that like what Solana is building is real. And these are people like our friend Mike Ippolito from Blockworks, for example, and John Charbonneau, who will also like kind of pad is like, well, you know, Solana tech is good. Why are people investing in the ecosystem? I think is like it's not a full Solana bull case, but like Solana has some sort of narrative. They have a narrative that separates them from Tezos or Cardano or.
But they're also like building. I mean, there's stuff being built, right?
Yeah, there's stuff being built. Yes. Solana has occupied a certain part of the design space that no one else has. And I mean, that's also true for every other ecosystem, but I don't know. I think like the Solana movement, Solana effort is unique and has captured certain set of builders and mindshare of at least in the narrative space. And this is something we'll talk about later, but just like they've captured some sort of territory and I want to go see why.
Okay, so give me your takeaways. How does it contrast from, say, an Ethereum conference?
Yeah, they're like the average Solana person, and I would call like this low-level systems engineer, system developers, like the ex-Tesla, ex-Apple, ex-SpaceX type of people that are just like software builders that are very tapped into what hardware is. And like this should come as no surprise, like Solana is all about hardware. This is like the people that I'm meeting and the takeaways that I have. I get in there, Anatoly's giving his main stage talk on the opening day, followed by like, they do like the whole parade of people, like all the community leaders, all the builder leaders. And like the one thing I noticed, it was hard not to notice, is like, they're kind of doing like main stage jabs at Ethereum. like in the opening keynote programming of like the first five talks that lasted like the first hour and 20 minutes, like there was a handful of like jokes, jabs at Ethereum, just like, and like, we're doing more transactions per second than any layer three on Ethereum, right? Like, we don't need layers, blah, 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 blah.
It's interesting that you say that, because like, I would say in the earlier days of Ethereum conferences, there were definitely jabs towards Bitcoin, right?
It's like, were there?
Yeah. I don't think that the entire community was like in contrast to Bitcoin, but like, you know, Bitcoiners didn't believe that Ethereum could run a full node.
Yeah.
For instance, they were getting confused with the difference between an archive node and a full node, right. Stuff like this. Right. Like, there were definitely some kind of light jabs for sure.
My difference for why this is different versus this is that Bitcoin maximalists were just creating absolutely just off base falsehoods along the lines of, you can't run Ethereum full node. It was just not even, it was actually straight up delusion. And so when like, and I don't know if it, but that like Ethereum jabs at Bitcoin wasn't on the main stage. Like, that was in the crowds. Right. That's what I would say. Anyways.
Okay. So what else?
One 1500 people is a rough gut check. 1000 to 1500 people, I think. Hosted in this like town that's pretty far away from actual Amsterdam, like a 20 to 30 minute drive, because they had like this entire campus. It was actually kind of a good move. So if you're going to, Solana was like a 4-day conference. And so if you're going to be at this 4-day conference, it was like a campus with different buildings, and you could go from building to building to building. And so they kind of like had this territory that was all to themselves, and like different themes and different buildings, right?
Did you feel like at any point you were like behind enemy lines? Like, you were like inviting another tribe? Was there ever the sense that here's the bankless guy. Here's an Ethereum guy, and what's he doing at a conference? Or was it very welcoming? And
I've been behind enemy lines before. Back in my old POV days, I went to a Bitcoin meetup in San Francisco, where it was me, CK, my old Bitcoiner co-host of the POV Crypto podcast, and 50 Bitcoiners, including like people like Pierre Richard.
That were totally on CK's side, not your side.
Oh, there were Bitcoiners, bro. It was the Bitcoiners.
I mean, Bitcoin maximalist, probably.
Yes.
I'm a Bitcoiner.
It was like Pierre Richard and...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yes.
That's like a Bitcoiner
and
right
Bitstein,
there.
Like, everyone was a Bitcoiner. And like, yeah, there were some like teases, but it was very welcoming. And if the Bitcoin maxis can accept... And this was in 2019. If the Bitcoin maxis can accept Ethereum into their circle, I just knew that like... tribal warfare on Twitter does not show up in real life. And I had very strong convictions about that. And I just always know that that's true. And so going to the Solana conference, it was a little bit like, oh, David from Bankless is at a Solana conference. It's a little bit of that, but it's mostly just like, I got the same level of like,
it's great to see you.
Recognition.
Like, I like your podcast.
Like, and you don't get this a lot because you don't go to in real life conferences, but just like in real life, there's just no toxicity. People are nice. People like, and I got an equal amount of just like, hey, thanks for doing what you guys do. You guys got me into crypto. I got that like at an equal amount at the Solana conference as I do it as any Ethereum conference.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a theme for the rest of this episode, which is just like peering in on social media. Do you know Sam Harris? He quit Twitter. He has somebody's podcast I listen to a lot. And he describes like social media and Twitter specifically as like a funhouse mirror distortion of reality. Yeah. And so you look into it, and the shape, the person reflecting back at you is just like this distorted, misfigured like perception of a person.
Yeah.
And that's true when you look at other people through the funhouse mirror of social media and Twitter specifically. And people are just not like this in real life. Right. There's a tendency to think like, if you go on crypto Twitter right now, especially, I think it's gotten worse since I've joined crypto.
Yeah.
It is a cesspool of toxicity. Yeah. That's the way it feels. Or it's just like shilling. It's like short term. Yeah. It's like, it is not real life.
Right.
And I wonder if there's an element, David, that we're like, we're all in crypto. We're like too online. And we just like don't have real conversations, long form conversations in real life. Here's a guy who's always in the office. But I even think a podcast, Zoom, people are not assholes on Zoom the way they are on Twitter.
Great. But then also they were throwing mainstay jabs at an opposing ecosystem. So like, it's a little bit of both, right?
But what's wrong with that? What's wrong with a little competition?
I mean, also, we need to move on to the next subject because otherwise we're going to have an
hour-long
show again.
The next subject is the same subject, David.
but like, I will say just like, Ethereum people, I think, have some sort of like responsibility in creating that in Solana, because the Ethereum versus Solana tribes have been fighting for years now, and Ethereum people like learned to cut their teeth against Bitcoiners, and then they turned that against Solana. And like, we're kind of good at it, but Solana learned to be really good at it. And now they're biting
back. Oh, so they're really good at being the underdog is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay. And so like I think Ethereum people have some sort of like, we kind of taught them how to behave. And now they're spitting back at us. And they're kind of better at it than us.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's move on. It's a different topic, but it's still the same topic. So yeah. Solana versus Ethereum. That has been the big conversation this week. And I think one of the standout tweets from this week was Solana bull. Also, Ethereum bull, I should say.
And also, Bitcoin bull.
Okay, so you could be bullish on multiple assets. Do you know that, David?
No.
You can. And Chris Berninski is, in particular, he's bullish not only on Sol the asset and Ethereum and Ether the asset, but on the Sol over Ethereum, kind of the ratio here. Yeah. So this tweet I'll lead with. From its 2022 bottom, Sol has now outperformed ETH 3x. This cycle, Sol has been and likely will continue to be the faster horse. This is the context. So people are observing this Sol price run up and they're looking at Ethereum and they're saying Ethereum is like the horse and buggy and Solana is the Ferrari and like Sol is going to be like the new savior of the bull market. It's going to like not necessarily overtake Ethereum, but it's going to be the primary driver here. Yep. I guess that's the context of this whole crypto Twitter Sol versus Ethereum thing. So what do you think about this?
Yes. Okay. Part of my current interpretation of Solana is like it's a lot of people taking positions in Solana on the narrative. Solana will likely to be the faster horse. I think you could reword that and be like Solana. And one of the reasons why Solana, to its credit, has attracted a certain type of developer that Ethereum would have never attract, like the low-level hardware systems engineers. We're not going to Ethereum because Ethereum is not a nerd snipe for them. Solana is. That's the truth of like the signal through the noise. A lot of the noise, I think, is embodied in like this last line of Chris's tweet, which is Solana is the faster horse, which I would like to reword to being Solana is not Ethereum and it's tiny. So the Solana market cap is 18 billion versus Ethereum 230 billion. Like a lot of people on crypto Twitter who are helping set the narrative, this is my hot take. The real reason why they're there is because it's not Ethereum and the market cap is 1/20th the size. Okay. And so they're filling a position based on that dichotomy.
So you're making the case that this is traders doing a narrative trade, of course. Right. Yeah. And like Sol is down. Of course it's going to pump more fully. Okay. Right. That's not what Chris is saying. Maybe that's what he's doing, but like what he's saying is no, David, stop being an ETH maxi.
Right.
That is being dismissive of what's actually being built. The fundamentals are like incredible for Solana. It's this new high transaction throughput, execution layer. You know, there's the modular strategy that Ethereum is pursuing. That's all well and good, but you get all of these kind of fragmented L2s, and people don't know which L2 to kind of bet on. It's maybe it feels to some like it's more messy. And here's Solana just executing this like, I don't know, infinity, a lot of transactions. I don't know what the reality is, where this stands up to, but Fire Dancer's new Solana clients promising all of these things. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's saying, no, it's not just a narrative trade. Wake up. Right. This is fundamentals we're talking about.
Right. The fundamentals behind Solana are up for debate. I think we can say like, yes, Solana is super fast. Anyone who tells you that they are doing 50,000 transactions per second is including vote transactions, which are not transactions. They're like how consensus has happened. It's like really, in reality, like 300 to 500. The last time Solana hit 400 transactions per second, it fell over. It hasn't gotten back there since. And also, actual on-chain metrics around Solana are empty. Like TVL is on the floor. Like the Sol token has gone up in price, but TVL and usage is flat or down. And so this is why I'm saying like that can all change immediately because of the fundamentals of like Solana being very fast, you know, finality at the speed of light, blah, 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 blah. But like right now, like what I see Chris doing is taking a victory lap because he filled his Solana bag during the FTX collapse. And then Solana is like, Solana has just mean reverted to being back above its FTX collapse.
So you're just saying it's too early for a victory lap. We're 3X and that's not a big deal when it was down, you know, by
if we're trying 90, to go 6, for 97%. Like actual real adoption, this is not that. This is right. Just Solana mean reverting.
Well, here's another point of context is I tweeted this out and I don't know, a lot of people hated it. That's all I'll say. Ethereum or every layer two is under 10 billion right now, while Solana floats above 22 billion. So if you look at OP or ARB or Matic, it's all 10 billion or under. Mm-hmm. And yet, here's the interesting thing. And yet, Solana would be third in active users and fourth in total locked value.
Out of four.
Out of these four. And I said, do with this what you will. I know what I'm doing. So this is me expressing, if Chris is expressing his bullish take on Solana, this is me expressing my bullish take on layer twos in general.
Based on on-chain verifiable metrics.
Yes. Now, Tushar, our friend at Multicoin says, like these TVL, terrible metrics. So is active addresses and actively harmful. And I get that. They're not like everything. They're not the only metric you can look at. But it is something. It's better than narrative. It's better than no data points.
Yeah, they're not actively harmful, Tushar. They're just actively harmful to your thesis.
I mean, but we could also look at block sales versus expenses, which is my favorite because this is Sybil resistant. Right. And if you look at Solana revenue versus its expenses on a monthly basis, of course, expenses is Sol issuance. Great. And revenue is the amount of money it brings in through selling its block space, either transaction order flow or actually just selling it with fees. And it's losing a lot of money every month, David.
Right. Yes, that's always been our critique about the Sol value capture thesis is that it is penetrative pricing, as in it operates at a loss to achieve scale.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, that wasn't my Twitter L for the week. All right. I'll tell you what my Twitter L was, which
that
got
was a dub because that got hella likes. And
maybe
also, you also ratioed Tushar. If we are accounting for Twitter likes,
well, look at
a
this,
signal,
look at this.
Which they are not.
Mert is really close here though, right? Ryan, you have absolutely no idea what you're doing. This is a Solana bull. TVL and active addresses are easily gained. Solana does more TPS.
That is such horseshit, dude. TVL is not... he thinks TVL is gamed because remember the guy who did like triple, quadruple, 9x counting of TVL on Solana? They're not... It's gamed on depending on how you account for it. And then he goes TPS is actually the true metric, which is the most gameable metric there is.
Yeah. But let me show you where I got absolutely... destroyed.
Sure.
On Twitter.
Tell me.
So then a couple days later, so one thing that I think is important that I grew up believing in crypto in part of this notion of decentralization, which is very difficult to define. How do you define decentralization? There are many different next like layers. There are many different axes of decentralization. But one of them, I think, is, and this has been true ever since Bitcoin, is the ability of a non-validating user to run a full node.
Yep.
Okay. What does that mean? I'm not talking about a staker. I'm not talking about a validator necessarily, right? Mm-hmm. Although running a full node is necessary for those entities in order to keep it at a data center. I'm talking about somebody who's just wanting to validate and check that what the blockchain is producing isn't BS.
Right.
Okay.
So you have the Ethereum staking validator, which is validating transactions and adding them to the chain. And then you have
and producing
the full,
blocks.
And producing
That's
blocks.
Different.
And then you have the full node validation of the validators, which is like, yes, they follow the rules. And that is a permissionless system. You don't need ETH stake for that.
Yeah. And I did a long ass tweet because you can do that now on Twitter.
Yep.
And I just said full nodes, non-validating full nodes, I think they're kind of important. Mm-hmm. And I think that other chains that maximize for TPS throughput have made it such that full nodes become much more difficult to run on consumer hardware and are therefore very unlikely to be able to be run at home or on a mobile device or something like that. And hey guys, isn't running a full node and validating the chain, like verifying, not trusting, isn't that important?
A core tenet of the bankless thesis. You cannot be bankless if you cannot validate the chain independently.
This was not a popular take, David. Let me tell you. I got absolutely like double ratio, destroyed. I could go into like, I had to like mute the thread.
Udi came in.
Udi came and said, yeah, this is what Bitcoiners said. Bitcoin Maximus says, he said in 2017 cycle, Ethereum stakeholders, including Vitalik, promoted it as the high TPS layer one compared to Bitcoin. No, he didn't. The Bitcoin maxis were furious for the same reasons you mentioned, but luckily Twitter was limited to 280 characters back then, so their complaints were more succinct.
That's just fake. Good take, Udi. That's just fake.
Yeah. Anyway, I got absolutely ratioed by many of these things. Anatoly, almost. Mert, certainly. It says I'm not an engineer. Apparently, right. I study political science. I'm good at communicating. I didn't study political science. I mean, just like casually. But anyway, absolutely slammed. Like, just nonstop. I had to mute this thread, David, because it was just...
can you scroll down to where he says anyone with a 1 gigabyte gigabit internet can run a full node?
I don't see that. That's quite the response here.
I just read that line somewhere. So like, I was talking to somebody in the Solana community about like, hey, I would like to like create a validator. I have a beefy machine, Ryan. I don't know if you know this. I built the computer myself.
Yeah. You don't brag about your beefy machines very often.
Super beefy machine. Yeah. And I have the hardware to run a Solana validator. It's consumer. I think that's right. I haven't tried, but I cannot do it. And do you know why?
Bandwidth.
And I am in New York.
Okay. What is the bandwidth that's required versus what do you have?
Fiber optics is what you need. I'm sure there's more nuances than that. Like not all fiber optics is the same. I have 1 gigabit download speed on my Ethernet, like cable internet, which is, I mean, fast. It's as fast as I can get. I can't get it any faster. I do not have access to fiber optics.
Okay. So if you had access to fiber though, mm-hmm. right, and you had a beefy machine, mm-hmm. it would be possible for you to run at home.
I think so.
Let's say that. Okay. That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm glad. Yeah. I wasn't calling in my parent tweet. I wasn't calling out any particular ecosystem.
Right.
I was saying, hey, let's be conscious of the trade-off that we're making mm-hmm. and make sure that we still preserve this quality. And those chains that preserve this quality of consumer grade average users being able to run mm-hmm. a full node, that is a more decentralized chain. And that is probably important.
Better. Yeah.
All right, so
but the Solana community knew what you were doing in the early.
I think, but that's what I was saying. My point was, it's an unacknowledged trade-off, right? Maybe you could run it if you have fiber in your home.
Right.
Okay, that's great. Will you be able to run it on a mobile phone? And now, to be fair, you can't run an Ethereum validator here on a mobile phone yet. Mm-hmm. But that is the end state goal, and Ethereum would be more decentralized if you could run some sort of a full node on a phone. Yeah. Anyway, that was not landing. I got absolutely ratioed, destroyed by that. So, David, what do you think? Did I take the L? Like, what am I wrong about this? What's going on?
I think there's like the big unpacking of just like what it means to be a layer one validation of the layer one in this day and age. And I think we probably have to update what that means in this year. I don't want anyone to think that we can have a system that is maximally bankless, maximally user sovereign, without that being possible for the end user. On consumer level hardware, you need to be able to download a full node. And we also need to make an episode as to why this is important. The way I would summarize like why this is important is that if you cannot do that, then your financial system, you are trusting others to run it for you and maintain it for you. And if we go from like average consumer hardware to just like the guy I was talking to about in Solana, like I was like, hey, I want to run a Solana validator. He pointed me to a cloud service. Mm. Like, no. I want to do it here in my home. Like, I don't want to defer to the cloud.
David, you sound like such a Bitcoiner right now.
Yeah. Big, big, like old school conservative crypto.
But honestly, they're right. I mean, they're not like Bitcoiners got a lot of things right.
Ideology wrong in execution.
All right. I was talking about my feelings. Let's get in your feelings here. You're disappointed. Why are you disappointed with Chris Berninsky?
Yeah.
Who is. The context for Chris Berninsky, I think Chris Berninsky
mentor
is absolutely fantastic. He actually helped bring me into the space, helped me understand this space. He wrote a book in, I think, 2017 called Crypto Assets that was foundational for pulling me down the rabbit hole. And I've always viewed him as a mentor and still do.
Yes.
But you got disappointed with the Funhouse mirror reflection you're appearing at on crypto Twitter. Tell me about this.
Yes. So he made this tweet thread. This is the same tweet thread that he used to start it off with, the Sol ETH price, which I said is like Chris is like doing a victory lap about Sol like going back to pre-FTX levels in ETH terms. He makes this tweet thread, and in the bottom, he just randomly like invokes us. And I can't totally understand why. He goes, "This being crypto Twitter, people will want to fight and will likely tag Bankless, as they have been the largest crypto media platform that is consistently bearish Sol. Most media platforms aren't so opinionated and increasingly loud in their bearishness as Sol trades against Ether, against their theses." And I'm like, I feel like he's putting words in my mouth and telling me the actions that I'm going to have, which is ironic because he put this thread out the day before I put out my video with Austin and Anatoly at Solana Breakpoint talking to them. And I'm not being increasingly bearish or loud in my bearishness. Like, people who are increasingly loud in their bearishness comes from a place of insecurity. That's what he's saying. Is like, they're going to be insecure, and so they're going to be loud about that. And I'm like, that's just not what I do. And then he follows up and says, "David and Ryan have been good for Ethereum. I liked their content most when they were exclusively a curious up-and-coming media platform. The Bankless brand has every opportunity to be blockchain agnostic, which I have a problem with, and I put that response there, but we don't have enough time in this episode. And most likely we would reach the most number of people if we were." It's actually not what I'm disappointed about, but this is like the context, right? So if you want to go to my next picture here. So I put out like the next day, in the words of Chris Berniski, "Here's me being increasingly loud in my bearishness," which is an episode I did with Austin and Anatoly. And then Chris follows up, and
not the first Solana episode, by the
definitely
way.
Definitely not.
We've done,
no,
like,
we've done
three,
like,
or four, five.
We
I
do
don't know.
So we do debates. More non-Ethereum content more than the average podcast does.
We do so much. We do so much non-Ethereum content. Like, a lot of
Ethereum people
get
don't
angry
like
at
it.
Us.
Yeah. Okay. So like I kind of like quote tweet Chris saying like, "Here's me being loud," and I'm like platforming Anatoly and Austin, and then we continue, and here's like where I actually get like a little bit, here's where my disappointment comes from, which is like the next tweet, which is like, so Chris, I published the episode with Anatoly and Austin, and I'm like, "Here's me being loud in my bearishness," and Chris Berniski says, "So you believe in Sol then?" And I respond with my like reasoning as to like what I am looking for in Sol and why I'm not there yet, which is that there seems to be a big triple point asset size, triple point asset thesis size hole in the Solana thesis. And I'm just saying, like,
what do you mean? You're just talking about value accrual, basically.
A value, like, people. what is the thesis behind Sol?
Because, so you can have a lot of transactions per second, right, but it doesn't necessarily mean Sol is valuable as a result. Right. The underlying token is valuable as a result.
Right. And so I'm telling Chris, like, there is a hole in my understanding about Solana that I have not been able to get over. And then he follows up saying, "Sounds like you're bearish Sol. Good luck." I'm like, no, Mr. Mentor, sir, that's not what I was saying. I was saying I am missing information, not that I'm bearish. I said, and that's what I told him. I said, that's not what I said. There's a big fog of war about my ability to understand Sol. And then he goes, "Sounds like Bankless should put out more content about Solana to help people understand then. Glad to hear you're bullish Sol." And I'm like, that's also not what I said. And you're doing the thing that,
glad,
like,
to hear you're bullish Sol versus Ethereum on the ratio.
Yes, specifically versus specific. Ethereum. Yeah. But like, the line "sounds like Bankless should put out more content on Solana to help people understand" then is like the most tiring response that we get from everyone in crypto who is like, "Hey, David and Ryan, platform my bags." And it's just the timing of Chris doing the victory lap tweet thread followed up by, "David, it's time for you to platform Solana and help people understand them." I was just disappointed in that because I think that is just like, it's a low request. It's like, my bags are filled. Now you platform my bags, please.
I know that's how it heard. Again, looking at social media, you're looking at a Funhouse mirror representation. It's like, I bet if you met Chris in person, you had this conversation with him,
100%.
You'd be able to articulate it, and it, like, you'd be able to both to have a discussion about it,
right?
And it would be totally normal. I don't think that social media, in particular Twitter, allows the opportunity to have that kind of long form conversation. Mm. So, I mean, I think that's part of it. Yeah. But what about this idea of blockchain agnosticism, David? Like, you know, I just want to. Our philosophy is not to be blockchain agnostic.
Never
because
has been.
If you're blockchain agnostic, It means you have to be agnostic to the set of values that actually underpin this space.
Right.
And that's not very popular, right? You talk about full nodes, you talk about, right, you know, values right now. There's a lot of nihilism about crypto values, which is like, who cares?
Right.
Price go up. Right. That's all I care about.
I'm not, like, here for the values. I'm here
I'm not here for the values.
Not, I don't care not about here for the tech. I'm here for the money.
How quaint, like, full nodes are. And so it's not necessarily popular, but it's honestly, it's I think it's important. And right, it's the thing that gives me meaning.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of ways to make money in the world. For me, it's like
XRP
crypto is obviously
not
one of them. Yeah. I just don't want to do it.
Right.
I just, like, yes, you could be a trader. You could, God bless, man. Sol has been a fantastic investment, might continue to be investment in the future. And by the way, I'm not saying it's like morally, ethically bad at all. Like, and I'm not saying it's like XRP, right?
Right.
But there are chains that are incredibly centralized that you make a lot of money on,
uh-huh,
but they don't exhibit crypto values.
Right.
And this is not why I am here.
If the users cannot be sovereign, then they're not bankless.
Yeah.
And I think like the difference between like Ethereum and Solana versus Ethereum and XRP is like the difference between Solana and XRP is like massive, right? So, like, yes. I actually kind of think the difference between Ethereum and Solana is like incremental versus Ethereum and XRP. But like, that's the gap that we are operating and discussing, is that gap and why and what there is a difference of, and what people that you're saying in your tweet are not acknowledging that there is a gap there.
So a lot of people see this, David, which is basically like bankless being, bearish soul, bullish soul. Right. what meme are we looking at here?
I had to like re-edit the meme. This is the Homer Simpson from Simpsons, like looking at his schedule, and his family's like looking at him. He's like, hey, what's Homer, what are you going to do? And week one, it's bearish soul. Week two, it's bullish soul. Week three, it's bearish soul. And I just thought that was a funny meme because like, I went to Breakpoint the same way, the same time you put out your big tweet about needing to users to validate the chain. And
yeah.
And so like, yeah, so it's like, we're just confused. We're confusing people about like, what is Bankless's position on Sol? Like, what is it? Like, are we bullish? Or like, why are we paying attention to it? But we're giving it attention, but we're also saying it's insufficient. Like, what's our deal? Like, are we going to cover Solana in this bull market, or are we not?
I mean, I think there's a lot of different like answers to this. Like, there's kind of the set of cynical answers, which is basically that Bankless doesn't talk about Sol or insert your blockchain here because we don't have bags, right, in these ecosystems, or our bags aren't as big, right? So it's basically like Bankless only talks about
their bags, which is categorically false.
Well, but how can you disprove that? And by the way, I don't have big soul bags, uh-huh, and most of my value is in kind of the ecosystem of Ethereum. Right. So it's actually like true, and that's because like I'm investing in a thesis. I just think the you're not talking about this thing because they're like, you don't have bags, or you have bags that you make you want to talk about some other asset. When someone is arguing like that against Bankless or anybody else, it kind of cancels itself out because usually they have bags in the ecosystem that they are
and talking about. And they're just critiquing you for not having their bags.
Yeah, so let's just put the whole bag bias thing aside in that entire critique. I think one way to think about it is usage of chains. Plenia, I don't know if you saw this this week, David, but yeah, Plenia put together a chains by economic activity post and actually went through active economic activity and then passive economic activity. So active is basically like the total value of settlement. Mm-hmm. It's like how many assets have transacted, have moved, have settled on chain. And then passive is like how much value is being secured, economically secured by the chain. So if you actually went by usage in terms of total value, tier one, that is the like in the double digit billions, Ethereum would be number one. Mm-hmm. So we talk about Ethereum. Tron would be number two. So we'd be talking a lot more about Tron, which is interesting because the last time we tried to do content on Tron, we actually got a cease and desist from Justin Sun.
Right.
It's kind of hard to talk about Tron. And then after that would be Bitcoin, followed by Arbitrum, followed by Binance Smart Chain.
Yeah.
Solana would not be in this list.
And there would be a few more chains before Solana.
Yes. And if we're talking about passive, which is the total value that the chain kind of secures, Bitcoin would be number one with triple digit billions, Ethereum number two, and then in the double digit billions, it would once again be Tron. Tron secures a whole lot of Tether. People don't realize this, but it's like $40 billion of Tether or something. And then Binance Smart Chain after that. That could be another way to get, like, we could give weighting for what we talk about on Bankless on our bags, which I don't think we do. I think we're more honest than that. Mm-hmm. We could give weighting based on actual usage of the chains in this way. We could give weighting to whatever the popular crypto narrative is, which, again, we're talking about Solana this entire episode, so maybe we're doing a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Or, like, we could give weighting to where we are curious.
Right.
And I feel like when we are at our best and when Bankless is at its best, it's actually doing the most of that fourth category.
The curious one. That's why people listen to us, because we are curious and we explore our curiosities.
I hope we can preserve that. And to the extent we do, I think that people will continue to listen to Bankless and what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. But that it's like curious and values backed are the things that at least I'm trying to optimize for and we optimize for in our best moments.
Yeah.
So that's what I think we should do.
Right. I 100% agree. And like, this is like kind of the existential crisis that I think it means to be a media company, a for-profit media company with employees and all of this stuff is that, well, actually the narrative is good for the views. And like, part of my like exploration into Solana Breakpoint was like, is there really a there? And in the future, if Bankless elects to do Solana content, is it because there's a there, or is it because the VCs of crypto and the degens of crypto have all identified Solana as a good trade because it's not Ethereum and it's tiny?
Well, there's a nihilist take there too, which is like the only reason you're covering it, David, is to get clicks. That's why you're covering it.
Right.
So.
But also at the same time, like
you'd say it's because people are interested. People are having the conversation and they're asking the questions that need to be answered. And you're curious about it because everyone's talking about it.
Right. Like I'm not going to do like Tron content because Tron is so stupid simple. It's like it's Ethereum with EIP-1559 juiced up with stablecoin payments. That's the story. Solana's story
also
is much.
We'd also
get a cease and desist from Justin Sun again. But also just like, that's not what Solana is. Solana has this whole narrative, this whole thesis that is not proven by its facts and the facts of its chain, but is a future statement of what Solana could be, which is a fair thing to believe by its community. Mm-hmm. So long as we understand that the facts about the chain usage do not support that. And it is all in the future imaginations and aspirations of the community, which I don't want to discount. But the whole idea of like Bankless ignoring Solana, I think there's more than enough evidence to say like, hey, I hate this word narrative, dude. I want fundamentals. I want reality. And the whole like Mert reply guy army should not dictate what we cover on the podcast.
Well, there you go. I don't know if this episode was helpful for anybody else, but I enjoyed it, David.
I like these conversations
very often. So let's wrap it here, shall we?
I think we should, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. None of this has been financial advice, guys. Of course, you know that. You could lose what you put in. This is Bankless. We're headed west. This is the frontier. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and we're glad to be joined with you on the Bankless journey. Thanks a lot.